Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Christ, our ascended Lord and King. Amen. Do you get excited when someone else is honored? I know you do. Who doesn't enjoy a good parade honoring our country with its bands and floats? Who doesn't enjoy a welcome home procession for a champion football team or basketball team? Or listen to the crowds at a baseball game when one of our servicemen or women is highlighted with thanks for their service. No one, I think, gets as excited about honoring someone for their accomplishments as a parent attending a celebration of one of their children, a birthday, an activities banquet, a concert, a play, an athletic or academic trophy presentation, a graduation, a wedding, an anniversary. These are some of the key threads of the fabric of life. To be honored for some great achievement or milestone is exciting, not just for the one who is being honored, but for everyone who's there cheering them on. It's as if their achievement becomes ours personal achievement. The ascension of Jesus into heaven has been called the Forgotten Festival. But there's no reason it should be forgotten. It's actually a day of great celebration and honor. The psalmist got it right when he exulted in Psalm 47, God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing to him a psalm of praise. If you would cheer for your favorite ball team, or if you would hoot and holler at your friend's graduation from college, or if you would pull out your phone and take pictures as your little child's preschool program is going on, or if you would put your hand on your heart when your nation's flag goes by, then join with all the church today in raising your voices in songs of praise to Jesus Christ as he ascends into heaven. Two things are brought up in our readings on this special day that we ought to remember. Here's the first. The Son brings honor to the Father, and the Father honors his Son. Nothing gives a parent more joy than a child whose actions make them proud. Am I right? There have been times when I've been given the privilege of reporting a child to his parents, not about something bad, but about something good he did. And the smile that lights up their face, the sense of relief that it was something good, is something to behold. Can we begin to appreciate how much God the Father received pleasure from the work of his own dear Son? When he fulfilled his Father's dream to save the world of its sin? We get a taste of that relationship from Jesus' own words in his high priestly prayer. He said, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." This was the great pleasure of God, that Jesus would complete the work of giving away eternal life as a free gift. That brought glory and honor to his heavenly Father. The world would discover God's own heart in his Son. No wonder the Father would shout down from the heavens, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." To view Jesus and to appreciate his work of saving the world from condemnation and death is to honor his Father, who so loved the world that he sent him as a gift. Jesus knows this and does not hesitate to pray to his Father. "And now, Father," he said, "glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." It is time. Jesus lowered himself for a while. We call this his humiliation, as he gave up the full use of his divine power and glory to become one of us. But that was never intended to last forever. It was a point in history, one that the prophets foretold repeatedly, as the king would come to be with his people, redeeming them from sin. Now that time had ended, and Jesus humbly looks to his Father for glory, the glory he enjoyed from eternity, reigning with his Father in the heavens. St. Paul wrote about that same glory in today's letter to the Ephesians. Inspired by the Holy Spirit himself, Paul says of God the Father, "He seated Jesus at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come." The Father dignifies his Son, calling him to be recognized by the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, saying, "Sit with me. Sit with me as a king sits on his throne, recognized as the ruler of all." We had a small taste of that this last week, didn't we? As Charles III was crowned the ruler of Great Britain with great pomp and circumstance. Did you notice that the new king was sitting on a throne as the archbishop placed the royal crown on his head and shouted, "God save the king"? It was hugely symbolic that he is the sitting ruler of the country and all she oversees in this world. That, friends, is a very pale and anemic comparison, because Charles will last only a few years at best and then need to be replaced like every other earthly monarch. And while his kingdom and his rule will do some good, no doubt, it is relatively small and ineffectual to stem the flow of evil in this world and bring about something better. How different is Christ's rule, which continues to grow and increase until that day when it will be unopposed in the world to come. Hail to the real King, Jesus Christ. But the story of Christ's honor doesn't stop there. The story of Christ's honor as the inducted King of heaven quickly becomes our story too, as this King turns his attention to those he leaves behind. And so, the church is honored by her Savior. That's the other thing to think about today. Listen as Jesus prays for his disciples of all times in this great high priestly prayer. "I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you, Father, have given me, for they are yours." We rightly make much of the Lord's Prayer, the one that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. It's a beautiful prayer. It's a complete prayer. But have you ever considered that the one that ought to be called the Lord's Prayer is this one, the one where the Lord is praying for his children? We should be so encouraged by the fact that the Lord Jesus himself is praying for us. It is one of his great acts as the ascended Lord Christ. Can you imagine what Jesus is saying for you personally right now? "Father, my friend Sarah is facing some horrendous attacks from Satan this week, seeking to discourage her from her calling as your dear child. Send the Holy Spirit to her powerfully, Father, that she may be strengthened for the battle ahead and emerge stronger and ever more confident, our love for her. Father, Ben is boldly standing up for my name in the face of opposition. Give him courage beyond himself to be my witness to the ends of the earth." What are you facing? How can you rejoice that the Lord of heaven and earth is praying for you right now? And how bold that makes you to bring every single concern of your life to him. Here's a second thing our ascended King is doing for us. Again, it's St. Paul who speaks in the Spirit. "And God placed all things under his feet," under Jesus' feet, "and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." With all of her warts and shortcomings, Jesus is still pleased to be able to call the church his own body. And he's pleased to be able to fight for her. He is her head, leading her in righteousness and peace. She is his fullness, even as he fills her with peace and joy and all of his blessings. There is nothing that he will allow to overcome her. "Though there be those that hate her," we sing, "and strive to see her fail, against both foe and traitor, she ever shall prevail." Finally, don't forget what the angels promised the disciples on that day he was taken up to heaven. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." A huge part of our confidence is the absolute conviction that the Lord has a plan to come back to this world. He'll do this at just the right time, when the full number of people have been brought into his kingdom of salvation by the power of the Holy Spirit and the spread of the gospel. It's that conviction that keeps us looking up to the heavens in anticipation of that great day. I don't know about you, but I do better when I've got something to look forward to. Maybe a trip, maybe an adventure coming up, maybe a get-together with someone I love. I'd say Sunday morning worship is part of that cycle too, with the prospect of seeing the people who share my hope. What greater hope is there than the hope that this world is not all there is? It is rather the temporary home which King Jesus will replace with a new heavens and a new earth, he said, what he calls the home of righteousness. How we yearn for that day, and how it changes our perspective, our focus, and the ways we live. Let me close with an observation that might serve as a comparison. You and I are painfully aware of the strife that has surrounded our United States flag in recent years. And while our nation is not a perfect union and its Constitution is an oh-so-human document, it's still our home. And the stars and stripes that fly over her capital are a symbol that ought to make us pause and reflect on all the blessings we have as citizens of the freest nation on earth. It breaks our heart when some disregard or disrespect that symbol. How we might chastise a person who doesn't take off their hat or put their hand on their heart when the nation is being honored by the parade and singing to her flag. In a greater way, on this day celebrating Jesus' ascension into glory, how wrong it would be to yawn or look the other way as our Lord Jesus Christ is receiving the honor that is rightly his. Even worse, how abhorrent it should be when Satan's lies and distractions become more important than the truth of Jesus' accomplishments for us. Shame on us. We would deserve a scowl and a cuff on the head if we were not to take this time to put a spiritual hand to our heart and pledge allegiance to this King who gave his all that we might belong to him and be so honored by his presence. Friends, let's lift our eyes to the heavens today as we praise him and sing with all our hearts on this day of his ascension, "On Christ's ascension, I now build the hope of my ascension. This hope alone has always stilled all doubt and apprehension. For where the head is, there as well, I know his members are to dwell when Christ shall come and call them." Amen.